political parties and voters. To be honest, though, America doesn't need more candidates, but a ballot option that reads none of the above. Of course, if that position would win, then we would have to get by with a vacated office, which, considering the alternative, doesn't sound altogether like too bad an idea. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Welcome to Love in the 21st Century. Our hosts this evening are Tamara Wickman and Sky Lee. Today's Love in the 21st Century is talked with live questions, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical and practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connect humanity, one-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training.
And tonight we are going to continue on a conversation about love and spirituality. We've been continuing this year having themes, and so we've now moved into, I believe, the fifth theme for this year. And it touches somewhere very close to home for me, love, spirituality. It's something that I spend a lot of my time thinking about and want to harness more of. And so I'm really excited to be able to take it in this direction. Before we get started and dive into more of our conversation from the perspective that is being shared tonight, I want to share with you pseudophysics from dear friends of mine that I had the pleasure of meeting while in Maui. So I'm giving a shout out to the One Tribe movement.
Woman must leave, and every man will be forsake, and every woman must bleed. But everything will be forgiven when you get back home. Everything that once was broken is now completely whole, completely whole, completely whole, completely whole, completely whole, yeah, completely whole, completely whole. So come back home. A lesson. I cultivate the message, capturing the essence of present moment imperfection. Will I be so alive? Jah guide my every stride, living in a garden with the chin of most high. I'll climb mountain and I will sing the song. I will find the silence and I'll sing along. For love will always guide us right back to where we are. We were never God, so come back home. So come back home.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rollo's West, at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rollo's West offers all in large plates, Maryland-style shrimps, blue crab cakes, wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rollo's West open from 5 to 9 p.m. till 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or by calling 636-4468.
All right, well, that was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that wonderful music.
My pleasure.
Yeah. So I just like to, acknowledge that I think that this is a very appropriate show for Tamara and I to be hosting together, as I feel one of our strongest bonds and one of the things that I love most about Tamara is our spiritual connection.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like we spend a lot of our time talking about spirituality and trying to determine what that means for us and how that fits in both our friendship and in our romantic lives and our families. And So I feel really honored to be on this show today to be able to talk to the world about our relationship with spirituality through love.
I just might add how to live in more radical authenticity with ourselves, because as you were explaining, we talk about it a lot in relation to, you know, to the roles we play in this world, but we also do a lot just on how we can show up more as ourselves, and it's been so awesome to watch how that has enhanced both of our lives.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember that a long time ago. I think you and I've both taken the spiritual journey both together and separately, and we continue to merge in the same kind of practices and the same belief system. And in reality, they all focus around one thing. They all focus around love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even this show that we're on together, it focuses around love.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's really appropriate for us to be here today. So, you know, I was trying to figure out how we wanted to approach it today. We had guests line up. Unfortunately, they weren't unable to come in. So I started scouring the internet, looking for ways to talk about spirituality and love. And I stumbled upon this folder, actually sermon given by Bishop Carlton D. Pearson. And it's about love. So, you know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all soul and with all your mind. This is the first greatest commandment. It's command. The second is similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he makes the point stating when Christian love comes down to for many people, and other teachings of other religions that actually predate Christianity by thousands of years, just Buddha, Krishna, some other enlightened souls, they all taught the same thing. The basic concept that love is spirituality. So learn to love. We somehow forget to love. When we are born, we love, you know, we love. We're tabula rasa, they call a blank slate. And typically, we love, but it's condition. And so as we go into society and as we live our lives, I believe, and I agree with this statement, that we tend to forget how to love. And so it's important for us to be able to come back to a place we can all love. So you don't, loving is naturally. You know, hatred is taught or appropriated through conditioning, through things like prejudice, through things like, you know, misunderstandings. And so love is the DNA of spirit, and it be recalled, reclaimed, and reconciled. That is what it means to be born again or anew when we're talking about finding spirituality. I think it's really important working about spirituality and religion or faith to remember that this for every religion, for every faith is love. In any religious doctrine, any spiritual test, essentially what it comes down to is love for yourself and love for others. So I'd like to share with you all this sermon by Bishop Carlton D. Pearson out of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And remember, this is a call-in radio show, so if you have something that you want to share with us, feel free to give us a call. Our phone number is 895-1114. It'll get you directly on the air. 895-1114.
Traditional souls. So that I've been treated down over the years. That's good. I love tradition. I love freshness. I love the morning.
So it's going to be in mid here, getting the programming.
Technical difficulty.
Don't try to do things while you're moving around your computer.
I love you.
So... Sorry, guys. The love and the essence of human spirituality. It's interesting that we decided to choose this this video because really I was recently talking with a friend of mine who is a pastor, and I just find it like we are able to communicate so well with each other and so clearly because this guy was articulating it's the underlying message. Though we come from very different perspectives in the kind of religious spiritual spectrum, we were really able to communicate with each other because we both understood the underlying premise was love. So I'm really excited to hear about what was this gentleman's name?
Bishop Carlton Pearson.
He has to bring to the conversation. And yeah, and I just invite everybody to keep their minds open and their hearts open to the possibility of what can be shared in this conversation, because it's important that often what can happen when we're hearing things that are from a different perspective that we don't necessarily ourselves maybe are listened to or believe. We often times turn a close ear to that or close our hearts to it.
I mean, I would say, like, as I was, you know, as I said earlier, scouring the internet to find a different kind of messages that, you know, as soon as I saw this, I'm standing in a Unitarian church, Everything in me said, oh, don't listen, don't listen, because I'm not a very religious person. Spirituality, spiritual, but not necessarily religious. However, there was just something that really compelled me to open my heart to listen to what this man had to say. And once I did, I found a connection. I found something that really spoke to me in his words and the lesson, the sermon that he was sharing with us.
So here we go.
I love all souls. I love you. And we're going to talk about love a little bit today. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you. I remember sometime somebody walked to me after in a public service. I had said, I love all very, very much. I was in a city I was visiting, a church I'd never been to before, and somebody said to me after the service, how can you say you love me? You don't even know me. And I said, that's pretty why I love you. If I knew you, I might not. Love's a strange chemistry. It's a strange, it's almost like pathogen. It's a kind of disease or disease. There's a lot of tension in it. And it's trite, we use rather frequently. And the older I get, the more I realize that we use the word often, that it's beginning to mean less and less unless you really give it some thought. I talk from the exact subject, love, the essence of human spirituality. It's actually the chemistry of the soul. It comes very natural, very naturally. We have to work on it. I had a long PA from Oakland, California. All the planes were late. They were delayed. There's a merge between U.S. Airways and American Airlines, and so there's all kinds of confusion, even with the attendants. And I ended up driving from Dallas late and got in about 3:30 this morning. I left my glasses at home, so I'm not sure where I am. And is anybody out there? I hear you, but can't see. And mergers sometimes are difficult. Merger business, mergers, merging of ideas, merging of fresh ways of thinking and being can be tormentous. What is love and how to deal with it? I like to think of the mystery. A mystery is something that is difficult or impossible to understand or explain. Condition, quality of being secret or sacred, mystical or strange. What is it, this strange, mystical emotion we call love? And we all use it quite frequently. And it's one of the most painful chemistries that we go through. Love is sensual and social and spiritual and sexual. There's agape, which is in the Greek New Testament, God's love or the love God. Then there's theo, which means friendly, like brotherly or familial love, Philadelphia, philo, friendly, fondness. Then there is eros or erotic love, the more sexual love. And we all experience all of them, and all of them are rarely, fairly, I should say, self-centered, self-serving. Love is really a feeling, and I'm just at 60 years old admitting that it's almost a pain. I have two children. Love hurts, talk to somebody. Most of the thing that we have in a relationship is around love. And it's more if somebody loves you, because nobody can hurt you or hate you like somebody you love or somebody who loves you. Some of the worst pain that a human being encounters is the pain between somebody who you're supposed to love. A mystic is a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender pain unity with or absorption of the deity or of the absolute, or who believes in the spiritual apprehension of truths that are beyond the intellect. If you're really going to be a practicing lover, you have to be kind of a mystic, because there's something so mysterious about it. When I say mystery, I sometimes translate that mist story. What is the mist story about love? Whether that's your parents or your children or your siblings, your spouse or partner, setting you two in love. Falling in love, I heard somebody one time, is giving body the ability or opportunity to destroy and trusting that they won't. You, that third marriage, remember that, I'm sure. Mystery, the manifestation of love. The magic is the power apparently influencing the course of events. We try with love to steer our lives, to steer giving, our generosity, to steer our care for other people. And, love is a force and sometimes a farce. What do I mean by that? A farce is described in the dictionary, or defined in some dictionaries, as a comic, dramatic work, buffoonery, and horseplay, and typically including crude characterization and ludicrously improbable situations. Is that what love is? It is a very powerful force, and sometimes when it disappoints you, it becomes a farce. And sometimes I can go from force to farce to force to farce within minutes. Did somebody say something when I said that? But then the manifestation, there's magic, there's mystery, there's manifestation. Manifestation is an event or action or object that clearly shows or embodies something, a theory
or an abstract idea. Love is a kind of abstract idea, which exists mostly in thought as an idea, but not always having physical concrete existence. We all say we love. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I think we mean it. Do we not? But do we understand it? No. I love you. Almost saying I love you is saying I hurt because of you. I remember when, as my children, there's things I want to do for them. We'd just gone through the transition, lose pretty much everything we had in this city. Some of you will know my story when I began to preach more expanded love, more expanded consciousness. And I remember my children were so small, and I'm thinking, now, how will I make a living? Because I built the ministry. I was the founder of it, and all the property and all the real estate, all the income, and all the – I had a $100,000 payroll. But then suddenly everything was gone, but I still have my children, still have my wife. And remember, I started feeling the pain of wanting to make sure – that they were taken care of. It was a sensual feeling. I could sense the loss, and I sensed the love. It became tangible and physical to me. And all religions and all cultures experience this. Doesn't matter what your race is. If you watch the animal, which sure some of you do from time to time, it's very interesting the love that you notice animals have for their young. And the care that's there. And sometimes they show the sympathy or the pathology, if you will, the path of pain when a baby is lost, or especially in fans like elephants or some parts of the primate family, monkeys, that they would actually have emotion. Many of you have dog pets at home that you know love you. They've never said it. They don't in some kind of way. The love of a pet is so powerful that, and it's so consistent. You can mistreat it, forget to feed it, forget to take it out. The puppy is still there smiling, wiggling its little tail, and you so often wish your children were that way. Or married was a little puppy. Most folk put their puppies ahead of their people because puppies to get along a little bit better. They're more feet. And often say forgive is basically giving a right to be right. Or the right, not always reason to be hurt, or the right be angry, not always the reason to be angry, but love will impose upon you. I have an 85-year-old mother, I just lost my 88-year-old father, and I have siblings, and when somebody dies, where there's a will, there is family. Did you get that? Where there's a will, there's family. If it's not one thing, it's your mother. So anyway... Mother will be in the next sermon. I won't use that same phraseology. Now, when Jesus asked, what is the greatest commandment? He replied, love the Lord your God vertically with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, he says. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor, horizontally, as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's J. And Christian love from the Judaic and Christian Bible. Most people don't realize that when you read the Bible, your Bible is by Jews, to Jews, for Jews, not a Jewish of divinity. Christianity is a branch, and to some people a breach of Jewish thought. But they combine together. We talk about vertical love of God and horizontal love of one another. Yet our religions tend to discourage us from loving ourselves. My Christian upbringing never made me good about me. I always felt that I needed to grovel before an angry, temperamental God with a fairly severe anger management problem, and who needed a severe therapy. And I watched Dr. Phil do, and I thought, boy, God needs Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's not going to heaven because he cusses. So that's the kind of... When you brought up the little narrow-minded life and culture that I was, you were all trembling around God because he was making a list. So I was going to find out who's not here. And we didn't know whether Christ or Santa Claus was coming to town. There was this mixed emotion for several generations. So love got warped and love got stagnant and love got paralyzed and crippled and flimsy and hard to detect, hard to determine. People who said love you or taught you that God did, that same God, if you looked at it wrong, would damn you to hell. And billions of Christians have believed that and believe that God requires blood sacrifices in order to forgive. That's what we've been taught. That's what we believe. And it makes very many people afraid. Even Hitler adopted the concept of burning from our box. That he assumed that God burned willingly, so he just helped God along and called Jesus his Lord. That's actually in his diaries. He called himself a Christian. They want to talk about different kinds of love, different Jewish love and Christian love and Hindu love. Basically, the true love is all the same, regardless of denomination, regardless of culture. Christian love comes to us from the teachings of other religions that predate Christianity by thousands of years. It's not so much about loving Jesus, though most of us who are familiar with his teachings tend to love him, or at least love the teachings, but Jesus taught to love God. People say to me now, you don't preach Jesus. I say, Jesus didn't preach Jesus. He didn't preach the cross. He didn't preach Calvary. He didn't preach torture. He did preach love. He did preach, I'm quoting him when he says, love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you love yourself? I love my wife better when I love me. Before I got married, I was searching my own self. I was 40 years old when I married. And I took trips. I learned how to be with me by myself. I'd go to Cancun alone. I went over to Jerusalem alone. I went to Hawaii alone. So by the time I met Gina, I was pretty secure with me. Insecure with her. Because I had been single for 40 years. I one morning, and I remember looking around. I was thinking, these people come. Where all come from? My children were crawling around. And then you feel the sense of aloneness, and you learn how to manage that aloneness and love yourself. Because I was secure with me, it was easy to share me. It was easy to give part of me away. But it was all a selfish thing to hold my baby and my wife or my parents, push my face into theirs, give them a gift. There was a certain feel of gratification. Love does have its own, and I'm not talking about sexual, but just like erotic love is aroused, so is agape. The feeling of self-worth when you do a kind deed, you do something benevolent or something that is philanthropic, you go feeling good about yourself. That's the chemistry of love. You are supposed to feel good about yourself. You take care of your children. You do something for your wife. Most of you men will admit with me that when married and your wife says, my husband bought me a car. My husband bought this for me. My husband did this, even though she may have paid for it. But when she said, it makes dude feel really cool. There's something about our ego, and we men, we must admit, we're about 80% ego and stuff running. That changes as the years go. As you get older, it gets just mostly ego. ego, something's gone, so you're still there struggling. As I get older, I look at love and how tangible, how the feeling of the electricity and the emotion and sometimes torment of love, it actually hurts. It really might make you cry. It might make you angry. It's wobbly, and it's hard to, it's almost like an illusion. It's hard to get a handle on it. Most of you relate to what I'm saying. If you love, and you do love, but love can change to anger. It's a sense of entitlement. Navigating and negotiating through love. You know, Buddha, Krishna, and other enlightened souls taught this thing about love. About loving your neighbor as you love yourself, about being kind, about being generous, about going out of your way. It's contemplative, which is to think profoundly and prolonged at length. You sit around, you think about, are you loved? And what does that mean to you? And I always tell single people, don't just marry somebody you love, marry somebody you like. Because there's a lot of people you love that you don't want to live with, including the one you're living with. You have family. You have parents. My mother doesn't want somebody all the time. We know she needs somebody in the house. She's 5. She lives out in the country in the big house that she and daddy lived in before. But sometimes she doesn't want us. The week turns, staying there for periods. But she still wants her in. We know mom loves us. But she doesn't always like us. And we love her. But we don't always like mom. Always like yours. You don't always like yourself. But you do love yourself. So navigating between like and love and the pathos and the preciousness and the patheticness and the propheticness of love is a delicate dance. Starting with how you experience and express yourself. I often ask the question, I'm sure I've asked it here before, what's working for you? What's not working for you? If you wrote a list of what's working for you and what's not working for you, which would be the longest? What's working on you? What keeps you awake at night? What's working as you? How do you show up in that relationship? How do you show up on that job? And what do you perceive to be working against you? When you sort through that, it will start and stop with what you believe about yourself. And I ask the question, what do you believe about you? Why do you believe that about you? And how do those beliefs about you add to or subtract from the quality of life? In a minute, we'll all walk out of here and we'll say that you enjoyed a sermon or a song or a service, but the bottom line is, did you enjoy yourself? Not did you enjoy the sermon or the song or the service, but did you enjoy yourself? Sometimes you enjoy everything but you. I'm learning how to enjoy myself and not feel guilty about it. Anybody with me? It's okay to be happy. It's okay to feel about doing a benevolent deed and accepting the fact that when you love somebody, you love the part of yourself that you experience when you're with that person. If you say you love your mom, you're saying I love the part of me. When we bury them or we eulogize them, we cry, we say, oh my God, I love them so much. I just love them. What you're really saying is that you love the part of you that appeared, that you experienced. And by the same token, I can't stand, so she just, you're actually saying you don't like the part of you that experience when you're on that job. Or when you come home. Or when you're a kid. Or when your neighbor calls. Adjusting how you appreciate or depreciate that experience is a very powerful revelation. Wrap your arms around yourself like this. Feel you. Be kind to you. Recreate. Sometimes I say just change something in the house just to give yourself a new sense of you. Just shift something around. Change a tablecloth. Change a lamp. Change the lampshade, especially in the same with 40 years. Change something. Just take a tetanus shot. Go into the attic and see if you change something around. Get some antibiotics and go in the basement. So you change is powerful. You're not in trouble. You're in transition. So you take the change, manage the change, and then you master it. Change your attitude about you. Say, I love me, I celebrate me, and I trust me. I receive love into my soul, into myself. I guess I'm really good at being me. Now pat yourself on the back and say, you sweet little pea breath, I love you so, little snail breath. Sure, we work on ourselves like that. Especially when I've had a tense discussion with something or a little argument, I go back and sort of look in the mirror and say, you're all right. When I was in college, my roommate, I used to look at me and say, you handsome Negro, don't you ever die. And you would say, you handsome or beautiful, whatever, don't you ever die. Lift those hands and wave, shift energy around you just like this. Come on. You want to get on camera and a Unitarian church lifting your hands. That's going to be on YouTube tomorrow. Love you, God bless you.
Just a reminder, this is FM 90.1 KZR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the hills, and beyond. You are tuned into Love in the 21st Century this evening with Tamara and Sky Lee. And this evening we are talking about spirituality and love. So I hope all found some substance in the video we just shared. I know that for me, what we stood out was we talked about when he talked about how all spirituality and all love really drive from the same concept of love. And I know that that's a huge motivator for a lot of people who practice different spiritual practices or religions. So I don't know. I found a lot of value in that.
Let's see. There's different parts for me that stood out. I think that the part that he shared about how the people that are closest to us are the ones that are able to affect us the greatest. And I know that I've used that phrase before. If I didn't care so much, then ... And it's very true. I find it very much easier in my day-to-day life, working and being out in the community, to be less affected by people that the people that I live with, or people that I see on a daily basis, or my family. And it's really so challenging, you know, because those are the people you want to show up. You want to be most loving and compassionate and understanding for those people the most, on a philosophical level, at least. You really do truly believe not what you want for these people and your family is the best. And I know that I'm not alone in this, that we all are overstressed, overstimulated by life. And by the time we get home, all we want to do sometimes is not listen to anything. And the people that, you know, whether depending on how they had their days, either want the same and are so just sensitive as we are to noise and sound and movement, or they're in a completely different place and they're super excited and they're just sure, but we can't be open to it because we've just experienced our day. And so finding a way to harness the patience that it takes to be present to what's actually happening and to see love and to see beyond some of the other emotions that come. I guess when I'm talking about the fact that people that are close to us can hurt us more, it's even on those, you know, microcosm way that people aren't even intending to. It's that, you know, we meaning me, I think often the wrong way that they're intended to be taken and wonder, you know, why I'm left feeling the way that I am. But sometimes it has to do with, you know, my mental faculties have been taxed so much throughout the day that I don't have the ability to hear that obviously these people that are my family, are my friends, or are my lover, care about me. And they do not want to say things, you know, for the most part, that are going to be triggering or upsetting. So for me, I feel like a part of it comes from is finding time and space in our lives to create opportunity for self-care so that we can really see the love that's coming through, so that we're not so greatly affected by the, maybe inconsiderate or crass
or even unconscious,
absolutely conscious, because if we were able to see it in a guise of love and compassion, then we can see what's really going on rather than what story we might have been telling ourselves about so-and-so. What it reminds me of, though, is a poem by Maya Angelou, and I can't remember the poem at this moment, but it speaks to something about, to that effect, that we often share our smile with everybody out in the street, and then by the time we get home, it's just, you know, kind of a frown, because we've been in a place of just showing up for the world, whether or not they're real showing up in an off way or not. And it's interesting, because that's sort of the paradox, right? How do we show up and be loving? How can we show up and be loving in the world, but then not really be that way at home? It's how do we find space for ourselves so that we can do that in both places? So that really, really touched me when he was talking about that, because it's something that I find myself working on and through, is how to be able to be a compassionate, loving person that I am in the world, you know, at least 90% of the time with the people that are close to me.
Yeah, I mean, I that also really stood out for me when he was talking about how it's, you know, the people that love really have the power to hurt us, and it really brings me back to a place which recently I realized that there's this one person in my life who tends to have the most power over hurting me, right? Who doesn't even do it intentionally, but it's this feeling of love that tends to allow us to take things maybe more personally, or to allow these things that the person does unintentionally to affect us in more painful ways. And so I thought that really interesting. And, you know, really just going over the history and my personal history in my head and bringing it back to a place of thinking about the times where I've felt the most pain, the most hurt. And I would say that consistently it goes back to the people that I have most love for. And I think that the way that I have actually been able to move past that feeling of pain in those hurtful moments is through spirituality, is through finding a place where I've grounded in my spiritual practice. And when we talk about love and spirituality, for me, spirituality is a medicine. It makes me feel better. It makes me function my life more proactively. It allows me to participate in more self-care. Mm-hmm. It allows me to participate in community building, which is something that is healing for me. Mm-hmm. Spirituality allows me to connect with people who I may not have connected with on a different level. That really struck out for me.
Mm-hmm. I see it as like seeing beyond the veil with spirituality, and in those times where I found myself challenged by all types of love, is if I give myself time and space to take care of myself, not necessarily deny the feelings that I'm having, but just give myself time and space to have those, I'm often blessed to be able to see where whatever's happening is weaving into a greater story, or how it's really attached to a story that I'm just telling myself and that isn't true at all. And so really being able to take that apart, look at that, because sometimes when I'm feeling affected by people in my family, it's me attaching what they're saying, this meaning they're saying, like, there's this time that I was at my mom's house, and my sweater was on the table all out back, and I pulled my sweater up really quickly, and one of her beautiful ceramic pieces fell on the ground and broke.
Oops.
It was a big oops. I felt badly about it, of course, as anybody who broke something would, and she said to me, "My mother made that." To which I said, "Rub it in, Mom."
Waiting to make me feel
right. When really, you know, me attaching a meaning to the story that because she said that, she was now more upset, or, you know, something worse was going to happen. In reality, that was just the first thing that came to her mind to say. It wasn't like she's trying to be, you know, anything than what I was telling myself. And so I had, like, I then walked away from the situation, you know, walked outside, came back in, and I had realized that I had taken out of context and applied a different meaning than what was really intended. She's my mom. She loves me. She's not, you know, she was just, you know, that was just the first thing that came to her mind. So sometimes that can happen. Like, and really, I can't emphasize time and space enough. It's like, you know, we're an instant gratification society that believes we need to have responses and needs fulfilled as soon as they become a need. It's like, I thought of it, therefore I need it, and therefore it must be fulfilled the next 35 seconds, otherwise I don't know what's going to happen. And that's just so bizarre. In reality, like, nothing in nature exists that way. And so I just invite everyone that's listening to give themselves permission to create time and space for themselves to really act and see what that allows you to create in your life. Feeling really angry at buddy, give yourself time and space to feel that. Really look at that. Feel into it. And maybe find out something different than if you would have just like pushed yourself to stay with that feeling.
Yeah, I would agree. And that really brings up something else for me that, you know, as I said, I was scouring the internet today to find a balance for what we were going to talk about today and what you're talking about right now really brings up the belief or the connection between love, spirituality, and the Buddhist's Four Noble Truths. Mm. So when we're talking about the Four Noble Truths, we're talking about life is suffering. Suffering is by attachment, right? It is possible to stop suffering and then using the Eightfold Path to liberate yourself from suffering by doing things such as right speech, right action. And so when you're talking about loving relationships, right, and what goes along with the pain that's created from them, and important to be able to, for me, it has been important to be able to remember the Four Noble Truths, right? So as far as, you know, all things suffering, or life is suffering, like relationships you suffer in. There's not all relationships are perfect 110% of the time, right? I mean, there are always moments of pain, whether you allow them to draw out or whether they're just like an acute feeling, it's still something that exists, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, that's a good reminder. You know, if I'm in a loving relationship and somebody unintentionally hurts me in some way, it's part of the process to realize like that's life. Like mm-hmm. In life, there is suffering. In love, there is suffering.
Absolutely. Something that comes to mind for me is to change the perspective on how we see things that are painful. So, yes, in the Four Noble Truths, life is suffering, and that can be, you know, like, I'm sure there's people out there being like, well, why does it have to be that way? And suffering doesn't, you know, have to be a bad thing necessarily. I believe that it's through adversity that we often grow the most. So it's about changing challenges into opportunities, seeing where the silver lining lies, instead of thinking, oh, man, woe is me. And just like, and going further and further down the rabbit hole of suffering. It's like, you can get out as soon as you awaken to the reality. It's a choice of what you're thinking about and how you're feeling. And one of the first things, or the second one you talked about in terms of attachment, Scott, that's exactly where I go to when I'm struggling a lot with any interpersonal situation. Like, I see my error here. I am attached to the outcome of the situation. I'm attached to whether or not this person met me. I'm attached to whether or not they're happy with me. I'm attached to how this makes me feel about myself. And so when I release those things and realize, no matter if that person's angry at me, no matter if that person's happy at me, no matter if I think that I'm a great person, none of these things are really matter because none of them are true unless I believe them to be true. So I need to just release myself of that suffering. But I can stay there, and anybody else can stay there as long as they want. We can stay pain and suffering and be like, go further and further and further down. But from my own personal experience, I'll let you know that the further down you go, the further and longer it takes to get out. So it's not impossible, obviously. But
well, and one of the mantras that has helped me most when facing adversity comes to love is the idea that all things are temporary.
Right? And,
yeah, so, you know, if I'm having a bay, if I'm having an argument with the people I love, if I feel slighted or hurt by somebody that I love, I tend to grab on that mantra. It's only temporary. This feeling of pain will not be forever. Mm-hmm. Right? We will move forward. I am not attached to feeling this feeling. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have it because it's real and a truth, and this mm-hmm. is what I'm feeling right now, but there's no need for me to get around and perpetuate that because I feel like when we hold on to that or when we stay attached to that feeling of pain or suffering, that we spread that mm-hmm. because now I'm going to be short-tempered or I'm going to give my partner a cold shoulder or, you know, I'm going to yell at my best friend or I'm going to scream at my partner and then they're going to do the same. And it's, you know, maybe they're going to pass that to their children or, you know, whoever's involved in that situation. Mm-hmm. And so being able to understand that you don't need to be attached to those feelings and that it's okay to have them, but you should release them or let them go eventually has helped me move forward in the relationships that I have with people that I love when I feel like I am hurt.
Absolutely. Definitely just releasing yourself from all those different, you know, strong emotions that just really want to keep us feeling a certain way and realizing, like I said, that you have a choice in that. And like you were saying, Sky, everything is temporary, even the temporary. So mm-hmm. just really trying to feel into that. You know, it's funny because I have conversations with friends about this. It's like, well, when are these mantras and all these like, positive thinking like shift our reality? When are we going to be there? And in reality, it's every moment. I mean, I know that it sounds strenuous, right? But I mean, at the same time, we're spending just as much time thinking about the negative. So mm-hmm. in reality, it's only strenuous because it's different. It's working out different muscles. It's like gym for the first time in a long time. We're going to the gym first time ever. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little challenging at first, you know, a spiritual boot camp. It's, but it's worth it to, you know, incorporate a different perspective on how to see the world. There was one other thing that I wanted to touch on that our path friend here was offering, and it was the connection with the neighbors. And it to me sadly because, you know, we live, again, in a culture that a lot of people don't even know their neighbors. Like, don't know their name, don't know what they look like, may not see them. I think in Chico, and definitely in some areas of Chico, we're much more fortunate because, maybe because of the lifestyles that certain people live, or because of the active choice to be closer to the neighbors, or live next to people that they actually know. At the same time, you know, that's an exception. I think that most people live in, you know, places that they don't meet anybody that lives around them. And I think that that's a shame. You know, I think that we shouldn't shit on anybody. But I think that I would like to spend more time actively connecting with my neighbor. And I've found that as I've spent more time doing that, how much I have felt safer mm-hmm. and more grounded in my particular area that I live in, because I know the people that are standing out in front of lawns and I'm saying hello to them and we're talking about our lives, and they don't seem so much like strangers to me. They seem more like friends. And it's an invitation to consider the idea that maybe your neighbor might actually be people that you want to hang out with.
Yeah, I don't know much what I happen to like my neighbors.
Yeah, Sky and I literally close together, so I mean, can't lie. That was one of the reasons I chose to live where I do. But yeah, the neighbor component. And so I don't know what the answer is necessarily, but I think that's a thing that I personally would like to go into is the beloved neighborhood, the community. That's what it was. Martin Luther King Jr., the beloved community. And really bringing that concept to, you know, to our front doors, to our neighborhood blocks, to this great community of Chico. KZFR does a part in bringing together and really bring an invitation full to participate with one as much as they feel possible. It's, you know, I've found it so interesting in the last week. I've been traveling often, and I've been really feeling how much people want to connect. It's just like, you know, this thing that's pouring out of people. We're like almost jumping at the bit to find the opportunity to say hello to somebody, to spark a conversation, to say like, oh, I like this about this person. When really we're saying, oh, you seem so intriguing. I want to talk to you.
Again, I think that there is a connection between love and spirituality when we're talking about getting to know community.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the reason that I chose to share this video or this sermon was because it really did highlight the fact that when we talk about religion, when we talk about spirituality, what we're really talking about is love. You know, love is what makes a difference. Love is what makes the world go around, right? Love is what brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that division, that divide through negative talk or through hate speech. Like, those are not things that bring us together.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, those are the things that tear people apart, tear communities apart. So,
So before we close today, I just want to share a mantra that's been cut through for me, and it is open up your heart and let the love come through.
It's a good one.
Thank you for listening. Thank you, Sky, for being here today.
Thank you.
And we'll be here next Tuesday at 5:00.
Right.
Ecopia is up next with Steve and Suchui. They're on every Tuesday from 6 to 10. They are joined by different authors and are talk about mental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. Go Talk. It's your local link to a global network who know and care about the health of our planet.
All right, and I'd like to share with you this closing song by Howard called Own Love.
Darling, you're with me, always around me. Only love, darling, I feel you under my body. Only love, give me shelter. Give me shelter, or show me heart. Come on, love. Come on, love.
under my body. Only love, my only love. Won't give me shelter. Won't show me heart. Come on, love, come on, love. Watch me fall apart. Watch me fall apart. Watch me fall apart. Watch me fall apart. Watch me fall apart.
All right, we have Ecotopia coming up next, and just to kind of give you a general idea of what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks, we're going to be about love and spirituality. And we talk about love and some more. And we're always inviting people to share topics with us about love and what they like to hear on Love in the 21st Century. So you can contact us through Love in the 21st Century on Facebook. That's a great way. And you can also contact It's in the Name 37 at gmail.com. ITSINTHENAME 37. It's in the Name at gmail.com. We also want to thank Larry for the kind words. We also like to know the people out there that are listening. So if you ever just want to call us and let us know what you think of the show, you don't have to necessarily be on the air. You can just call KZR. We love hearing what people have to say. So thank Larry for your kind words. And Ecotopia is coming up next.
Lot. With a big hotel, a boutique, and a swing hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you thought till it's gone? They pay paradise for a parking lot. Took all the trees, put it in a tree museum, and charged the people a dime and a half just to see them. Seem to go. They don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise for the parking lot. Paid from afar, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on map, give me the bird and the bees. Please don't it all seem to go. That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise for the parking lot. Last night, the screen door slammed, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know